Welcome to It's All Politics from NPR News. I'm Ron Elvey.
And I'm Ken Reardon.
And Ken, I think we should talk about the Senate. It's suddenly become a much more attractive place.
Well, I think everybody is referring to that famous quote by Nikita Khrushchev, 1959, that warning, "We will burris you."
Are you saying that the Senate can be embarrassed?
I think they've embarrassed themselves.
Well, let's burris a little deeper into this.
Okay, shall we?
Okay, rolling along.
It's my understanding that one of the conditions Harry Reid and Dick Durbin gave was
even
that
a precondition.
He should testify at the Blagojevich impeachment hearing.
January 8th.
January in
Springfield, Illinois.
Thank you. And he would tell everything he knows.
The whole truth and nothing.
About his relationship with Blagojevich or associates with Blagojevich.
That's correct.
First of all, he said a sworn affidavit saying that, no, he had no contact with anybody. Then, during testimony, he said, well, I may have spoken to a former Blagojevich chief of staff. Then, earlier this month, we find out that not only did he speak to a former Blagojevich chief of staff, but he spoke to Blagojevich's brother.
His former brother.
Who's ironically also named Blagojevich. Then, we find out that in answer to some questions from reporters, Roland Burris said, yes, I was asked to raise money for the governor, and I tried but failed.
I wasn't any good at it.
While I was being considered for the U.S. Senate.
So why should anyone hold it against me? Because no one gave me any money when I asked them for it. Okay, this would appear to the naked eye to be a case of him telling something other than the truth to a committee that had him under oath there in Springfield, Illinois on January 8th, when the only thing he was supposed to do is just go testify truthfully and then you can be a member of the United States Senate. Where does that leave us in terms of his future?
Right now, there is an opening preliminary investigation by the Senate Ethics Committee. And there's also an investigation going on in Sangamon County outside of Springfield, Illinois.
Where any perjury which may have occurred would have occurred.
That's right. There is pressure for Mr. Burris to resign his Senate seat. Two Democratic members of Congress from Illinois, Schakowsky and Hare, both called for Senator Burris to step down. Now, here's the thing. First of all, you need, I guess, two-thirds of the Senate to expel a senator.
Ken?
Yeah.
When was the last time a senator was actually expelled by the Senate?
Today's Thursday, February 19th. Wednesday, the 18th, Civil War.
That's correct.
Right.
It was in the 1860s.
That's right.
And no one has been expelled since because
although,
when people have come close to being expelled and when it appeared there might be two-thirds to
name
expel
two,
them,
name two.
They have resigned.
Name two.
Robert Packwood.
Right, and?
Also Harrison Williams.
That's correct.
And they just decided it's not worth it to me to actually become the first senator to be expelled since the Civil War. You can imagine how that looks on a tombstone. And so they quit. They resign.
And name every African-American senator in the Senate today.
Roland Burris.
Exactly.
So that is why it is less likely that they will vote to expel him.
So my argument and my expectation is that if it comes down to it, I expect that the Ethics Committee would either censure Mr. Burris if they find perjury or some kind of condemnation like David Durenberger had. They didn't expel him. Certainly they didn't. But there was a blemish on his record.
What in this case might Roland Burris lack that would be necessary for him to resign?
A conscience?
Shame.
A conscience? Well, this is what Roland Burris said on Wednesday.
If I had done the things I've been accused of, I would be too embarrassed to stand up here in front of you because you all are my friends.
That's what we said about Rod Blagojevich, that obviously he's going to have to resign because it's so humiliating to him, and yet he fought to the bitter end until he was expelled by the state senate in Illinois. But so I suspect that Burris is just not going to own up to any. What he said was that when the questions came up, they went to another subject, which, of course, if you look at the transcript, that's not true.
No, he simply did not answer the question truthfully, and the question could not have been more explicit, and he could not have been more evasive in his
what sense. I feel sad about is that, you know, we talk a lot about history, and Roland Burris, as we all know, was the first African-American elected statewide in Illinois. And so
1978, to the Office of State Comptroller.
And then later Attorney General. But he was a groundbreaker. I mean, nobody ever thought of him as the smartest guy in the world, and he wasn't the smartest guy in the world. But I read in your column that a lot of it was timing. He was at the right place at the right time. And so,
and then he was at the wrong place at the wrong time. In 1994, he did not win his nomination for governor. That was a step beyond what he was going to be allowed by the state party or by the voters.
84, he ran for the Senate and lost to Paul Simon. I think the point you're making, and I think you made in your column, is that for offices like Attorney General, State Controller, yes, we'll vote for Roland Burris. But when it comes to governor to senator, I think that's a bar too high.
He's punching above his weight.
Yeah.
And he did not get the backing of the state party. You can put whatever reasoning behind that you like, but he didn't win a primary where the voters were actually speaking.
Right.
So his career came to a fairly natural end at a fairly natural time by natural causes. There was never a scandal.
Never a hint of scandal.
That's correct.
Right.
And 15 years go by, and it turns out he still badly wants to get into public office.
Well, he's still running for office. In 2002, he was still running for governor, for higher office, ran for governor and lost in the primary to Rod Blagojevich. Now, one senator who went through an embarrassment who does, unlike Roland Burris, does not want to stay in the Senate, and that's Judd Gregg of New Hampshire.
Interesting that he supposedly, according to the reports from the White House, showed an interest in becoming Secretary of Commerce, had conversations with people about his interest in joining
Harry Reid facilitated it.
That's right. And the Obama people said, fine, we'd love to have a third Republican in the cabinet. They welcomed him with open arms. And about 10 days later, he turns around and says, nope, too many philosophical differences. We're too far apart on economic stimulus and a lot of other economic issues. I don't think I can be your Secretary of Commerce. And he gets up and says, I'm out.
Well, I spoke to somebody who pretty much knows what Judd Gregg was thinking, and he said that the conversation that Judd Gregg had with President Obama were different than the political conversations that were going on in the White House, meaning that, one, Judd Gregg assumed that under Commerce he would have control of the census, which apparently the White House wanted to take away from him because it's a big political back and forth over the census.
For the record, yeah. Judd Gregg has said over and over the census was not the issue, Gus.
I think that's not true. But, you know, one thing I do know, he wanted out of the Senate. He does not like the current makeup of the Senate. As conservative as Judd Gregg is, he didn't like the right-wing control of the Republican Party. He looked around.
You mean he's not happy on the Republican side of the aisle, and he's certainly not happy being in the minority?
Well, but also he doesn't like the direction the Republican Party is taking. He feels that it perhaps is just too far to the right, too much Coburn-Inhofe type, and less than Judd Gregg, who, look, has been around politics his whole life. His father was governor, of course, and he knows the give and take of politics.
So having decided to leave the Senate in 2010, not run for re-election, rather than disappear entirely, and as you say, his life has been politics, he thought he might like to be in the cabinet.
Right. Service
and so he did play a little bit of footsie with the Democrats with the idea of doing that job. But then just because of the Census Bureau, he decided to reverse all of that.
Well, part of what happened with the stimulus bill, part of it what happened to the politics of it, part of it what happened to the census. I mean, I don't know if one is more than the other, but I do know that he was under tremendous pressure from back home from conservatives and Republicans saying, what are you doing?
I think we're getting down to what really happened here. He really got his thumbs in the thumbscrew on this one, and an awful lot of people were beating him up from the right. People that he had been associated with his whole life,
right,
and telling him that he was a sellout and telling them that they could never respect him if he made this move. That would not have happened 20 years ago. I'm not sure that would have even happened 10 years ago in our politics, but that's where we have come today.
And you know who's really the most upset about all this is Senator Bonnie Newman.
Hello, Newman.
Well, exactly. Bonnie Newman was going to be one of the few women on the Republican side in the Senate, and while she was only going to serve for 2 years, it certainly looked like an exciting opportunity for her, unusual woman. And she lost that opportunity before he even had a chance to take the oath of office. Highly embarrassing.
And quickly, what I've just also learned is that John Sununu, the former senator who was defeated by Gene Shaheen, may not run.
He may
want to make a lot of money. And so there are other people, maybe Charlie Bass, the former congressman. But it may not be John Sununu, which means that the Republican Party, New Hampshire, which was for the longest time controlled by the Republican Party, could very well have two Democratic senators come 2011.
To go with their two Democratic members of the House,
right,
and their Democratic governor.
Although one of the Democratic members of the Congress
might be making the move to the Senate.
Oh, no.
Exactly. Well, long time set in stone as the granite state of Republicanism. But that's happened throughout New England. I mean, we're down to absolutely zero New England congressmen who are Republicans.
Right.
We only have three New York congresspeople out of 30
29,
who are
right.
Republicans. So that whole region of the country has gone from having a very strong mix of the two parties to being entirely Democratic.
Other congressmen making news. Roy Blunt of Missouri, the former majority whip. Congressman Roy Blunt is now going to run for the Senate seat, being given up by Kit Bond. Robin Carnahan, the Democratic Secretary of State, has already announced her candidacy. So that's going to be an interesting race in Missouri. And Kathleen Sebelius apparently is on the top of the list of the next HHS Secretary.
And that's the governor of Kansas.
The governor of Kansas, who by doing that theoretically could be taking herself out of the mix for the 2010 Kansas Senate race there, which Sam Brownback is giving up. And no Democrat has won a Senate seat in Kansas since the 1930s.
Now, Kathleen Sebelius taking over the job of Health and Human Services,
if it is her,
that would be the Tom Daschle job, or at least half the Tom Daschle job,
right,
half the job that he was going to do before his fall from grace over tax issues. And she would, as you say, be taking herself out of the picture as a possible Democrat.
I mean, she could always run in 2 years. You know,
it seems unlikely, though. Yeah. You would take on one of the toughest jobs in the entire cabinet when you were planning to leave in just a year to concentrate on a Senate campaign.
Although, as you well remember, Abe Ribicoff did that in 1961. He was appointed HEW secretary, and then he ran for the Senate in Connecticut.
Yes, and of course he did win. Here's another person whose name has come up as a potential Senate candidate, since we're talking so much about the Senate. Mm-hmm. Arnold Schwarzenegger, does he run or doesn't he run?
The Senate?
I think we have Ken's answer. I don't think Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to be all that interested in running for the Senate after what he's been through as a governor. His name came up just because it's been so tough for the Republicans to win any kind of a Senate seat in all these years since 1992 when the Democrats captured, with that double whammy of women, Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer, both the California Senate seats.
The last Republican elected to the Senate from California was?
Pete Wilson.
That's correct.
And Pete Wilson was also the guy who left the Senate to become governor of California, proceeded to get reelected on an immigration petition.
Anti-immigration.
Right, an anti-immigration platform, and essentially took the Republican Party down for what looks like a generation
in California. Thank God for Gray Davis.
As the Hispanic vote has risen. Yes, Gray Davis kind of gave it back.
Right.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger, of course, got it through a recall election. I'm sure Arnold's really happy that he got to be governor of California.
It is such a mess.
$42 billion state deficit, a state deficit that's as big as we used to think of as a federal deficit. And in order to close it, they had to get a two-thirds vote in both chambers of the state legislature.
That's state law. That's state law.
By California state law. Right. If they want their laws to read that way, they'll have to stew in them. And to get there, incredible degree of angst, suffering,
pressure,
all-night sessions,
bargaining.
Pressure,
yeah.
Bargaining. And those were the happy parts of this package.
And that's just to put together the podcast.
So in the end, Arnold Schwarzenegger limping out of the governorship after one term plus a partial, and probably not all that interested in going to Washington and being one of 100. Can you imagine Conan the senator?
Oh, no. I can't even imagine Conan the host of Talk of the Nation.
One thing about Arnold Schwarzenegger, though, among governors, he is among that small group of Republicans who is glad to get some of the economic stimulus.
This is a very strange story. There are a bunch of Republican governors like Mark Sanford in South Carolina, Bobby Jindal,
Rick Perry.
They're talking about not taking the money because they're philosophically opposed to the stimulus package.
Thumbing their noses at the president.
That's insane. I can't.
My state may need to raise taxes. It may need to cut essential services.
Oh, that's much better.
But I'm not going to take your dirty money from Washington. I'm going to be interested to see how many of those governors really follow through and totally refuse this money, and how many of them say, well, we'll take it, but we won't accede to any of the conditions you want to put on it. And then if the feds cut it off, they'll say, oh, the feds cut it off.
And it's interesting, not a lot of them, but certainly Bobby Jindal and Mark Sanford are talked about as potential presidential candidates
not
in 2012.
Rick Perry? Perry's having trouble just staying as governor of Texas.
Right, because Kay Bailey Hutchinson will run against him, supposedly.
Well, she seems to be running against him now. She's attacking him, he's attacking her. The two of them are going at it as though we were in a campaign year, and it's only 2009. And that's it for this week's political podcast.
You can follow NPR's political coverage at npr.org/politics.
I'm Ron Elving.
And I'm Ken Rudin.
Join us again next week for It's All Politics from NPR.
Take back your mink. Take back your pearls. What made you think that I was one of those girls?